Want to open your Bibles this morning, once again, in the book of Exodus, chapter number 6. And as we turn to this passage of God's Word, I want us to rejoice in what God has promised, and we're looking at the promises which the Lord has given here to His people, the children of Israel, as they are about to take a journey in the will of God out of Egypt and into the promised land. They have many mountains to climb, they have many valleys to cross, and yet they are assured of the presence of the Lord. Now, we have been looking in this passage of God's Word, and last Lord's Day in verse number 1, we notice God's power. It says, "Then the Lord said unto Moses, Now shalt thou see what I will do to Pharaoh." There we see God's power. Verse number 2, we come to God's person. God spake unto Moses and said unto him, "I am the Lord." And we spent some time at looking at that last Lord's Day in God's person, or the person. And then we come to verses 4 and 5, and we came to God's performance. And God looks back and He reviews the past. And God said there in verse 4, "I have also established My covenant with them to give them the land of Canaan, the land of their pilgrimage wherein they were strangers. And I have also heard the groanings of the children of Israel whom the Egyptians keep in bondage. And I have remembered My covenant." You'll notice God says, I have. And so we see God's performance. We see God's covenant here. We see God's care here. And we see God's consideration here, because you'll notice it says in the end of verse 5, I have remembered My covenant. Now I want us to come this morning to God's promises. And we start there at verse number 6. Let's read the scriptures together, please. "Wherefore say unto the children of Israel, I am the Lord, and I will bring you out from under the burdens of the Egyptians, and I will rid you of their bondage, and I will redeem you with a stretched out arm and with great judgments, and I will take you to Me for a people, and I will be to you a God. And ye shall know that I am the Lord your God, which bringeth you out from under the burdens of the Egyptians, and I will bring you unto the land, concerning which I did swear to give it to Abram, to Isaac, and to Jacob, and I will give it you for an heritage. I am the Lord." And Moses spake so unto the children of Israel, but they hearkened not unto Moses for anguish of spirit and for cruel bondage. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, "Go in, speak unto Pharaoh, king of Egypt, that he let the children of Israel go out of his land." And Moses spake before the Lord, saying, "Behold, the children of Israel have not hearkened unto Me. How then shall Pharaoh hear Me, who am of uncircumcised lips?" And the Lord spake unto Moses and unto Aaron, and gave them a charge unto the children of Israel, and unto Pharaoh king of Egypt, to bring the children of Israel out of the land of Egypt. Verse 28, "And it came to pass on the day when the Lord spake unto Moses in the land of Egypt, that the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, I am the Lord, speak thou unto Pharaoh king of Egypt all that I shall say unto thee. And Moses said before the Lord, Behold, I am of uncircumcised lips, and how shall Pharaoh hearken unto Me?" We end our reading there at the end of the chapter, and God will indeed bless His Word to our hearts this morning. I said there is here, in the promises that God has given His people, and God was given through the lips of Moses to the children of Israel, there are 7 I wills of God. 7, the perfect number, the number of completeness, and the 7 I wills are worthy of our consideration this morning. Go to verse number 6. It says, "Wherefore say unto the children, I am the Lord," the children of Israel, "I am the Lord, and I will bring you out from under the burdens of the Egyptians." And there's the first thing. God says, I will of rest. He promises to give His people rest. He says, I will bring you out from under the burden of the Egyptians. Now the reality is they were under the burden of the Egyptians. And they knew all about that. They were under the deep burden. They did not know what rest was. There was a heavy burden that was placed upon them because they were slaves in Egypt. And they were under a great taskmaster of the mighty Pharaoh. But God says, first of all, He says, I will bring you out. And I will bring you out from under the burdens of the Egyptians. Thank God there is the I will of rest. The book of Matthew's Gospel, chapter 11, says, Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. If you're here at the service this morning and you're under the burden of your sin, I want to tell you, the Lord says that He will bring you from under the burden. He will give you rest within your soul if you but come to Him. And the Lord says, I will give you rest. There is a rest for those who will come to the Lord Jesus Christ. Lord Jesus said in another passage, ye will not come to me that ye might have life. And the tragedy is that there are many today that are still laboring under the burden of their sin. And there's no rest to the wicked. Isaiah chapter 57, verse number 20. There is no rest, saith my God, unto the wicked. They're like that troubled sea that goeth to and fro. But friend, there is a rest for the child of God. Those that come to Him with the burden of their sin, under the slavery of their sin, in the bondage of their sin, and they look to the Lord Jesus Christ, and those that look to Christ shall live. And He says, come, and I will give you rest. Hebrews chapter 4 and verse number 9, it says, there remaineth therefore a rest unto the people of God. Maybe you're laboring under a burden this morning. You're in God's house, and be honest, before the Lord, you're carrying a tremendous burden, perhaps that nobody else knows anything about. Maybe, friend, whenever you meet them and whenever you have greeted them, coming into God's house, you have a smile on your face, but there's far from a smile on your soul because you're carrying a heavy burden. You're carrying a heavy personal burden. You're carrying a heavy family burden. You're carrying a burden perhaps of something at work that nobody knows anything about. And you're come to God's house and God knows you're deeply burdened, you're troubled. I want to tell you there's a rest for the people of God today. Casting all your care upon Him, for He careth for you. Just as the sinner finds rest in Christ. And those of us who are saved this morning know how true that is. We came to Jesus as we were. We were weary, we were worn, we were sad. But we found in Christ a resting place. And praise God, He made us glad. He took our sin, and the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleansed us from all our sin and keeps on cleansing us from all sin. Glory to God, He has brought us out from under the burden of sin. Oh, why do you carry the burden any longer? Can I stop for a moment and say to the unsaved in this gathering this morning, in God's name, don't carry the burden of sin any longer. You carry the guilt upon your conscience. Let me tell you, burdens are lifted at Calvary. Jesus is very near. Troubled soul, the Savior can hear or can see every burden and fear. Burdens are lifted at Calvary. Jesus is very near. There is the I will, first of all, of rest. Do you know what I'm talking about? Have you experienced the rest of what it is to trust in Jesus? Leave everything in His hand and know that He'll work all things together for good to them that love the Lord and just come to Him and find rest. You say to me, preacher, I can't remember the last time I laid my head on the pillow and had rest because my mind was like a troubled sea. I was tossed to and fro. The storms, the waves were lashing in as they just lash in at the seaside and hit the rocks. And the foam has lashed all around. You say, that's what my life's like. Maybe it's guilt. Maybe it's something, friend, that perhaps the family don't know, but deep in your heart there's a guilt there. You don't know what rest is. You like the troubled sea. Know what Jesus said? He said, come unto me. The inviting Christ. The loving Christ. The caring Christ. And he reaches out his hands that have the marks of Calvary upon them. They're nail printed hands. And with the nail prints in his hands, he says, sinner, come to me. Come unto me, all ye that labor. Not some, all ye that labor and are heavy laden. He says that to his child this morning. Heavy laden, problems, difficulties, burdens, stresses. He says, come to me. He says, I'll give you rest. I will. The I will of rest. But let's look at the verse again. I will bring you out from under the burdens of the Egyptians, and I will rid you out of their bondage. There's the I will of release. The I will of release. He said, I will rid you. The word there, rid, means to snatch. To snatch from danger. To pluck out of the hand of the oppressor. He says, I will liberate you. I will set you free. I will bring you into liberty. He whom the Son sets free shall be free indeed. Friend, dear unsaved person this morning, if you're here and you're without Jesus Christ, let me tell you, sin shackles a man. Sin binds a man. Sin enslaves a man. Oh, how easy it is for the shackles of sin to my be intertwined and my be wound around a person until they're in total bondage. There's many a drunkard and he cries out in his helplessness, would somebody help me? You say, does he love his booze? He's a slave to it. He's a slave to it. There's been times he's longed to break the chains. But he can't. He's not only a slave to his booze. Harlot's a slave to her harlotry. Whoremonger to his whoremongers. Life and lust and passions. The idolater is enslaved to his idolatry. Many a time he longs for liberty and freedom, but he's chained. Oh, the shackles of sin. Oh, the chains that are around young men and young women today. And they cry out in the stillness of their hearts for freedom. There's only one that can rid them of the bondage. There's only one who can set them free. There's only one who can break the domination of sin. There's only one that can snatch them out of the oppressor's hand. There's only one who can liberate them. What does he say? He says, I will rid you out of their bondage. Let me tell you, friends, they were in bondage. But there was nothing they could do about it. And the sinner of himself can do nothing about the bondage of his sin. He's a slave to his sin. He's shackled by his sin. And I hear some people, you know, carelessly say, why doesn't he get rid of it? Why doesn't he turn his back upon the booze? Why doesn't he turn his back upon the life of sin? And he's a slave. can't. And of himself, he cannot do it. But he needs someone to pluck him from the oppressor's hand. He needs someone to set him free. He knows nothing of liberty. He knows nothing of freedom. He's in bondage to a sin. But he whom the Son sets free, thank God he's free indeed. And Jesus says, well, the Lord says here, I will rid you of their bondage. Let me tell you, the Lord wants to save you, sinner. And I want to tell you, he wants to change your life. He wants to rid you of the bondage that you're in under. He wants to liberate you. He wants to break the shackles of your sin. He breaks the power of counsel sin. He sets the prisoner free. His blood can make the foulest clean. Thank God his blood avails for me. You know, I bless the Lord that whilst it's true, he says, listen, I will rid you from under their bondage. In other words, God says, I'll release you. I'll pluck you out of their hands. I'm glad he says something in John's Gospel, chapter 10, 28. He says, I give unto my sheep eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any pluck you out of my hand. For you're safe in my hand. No, today let me tell you that world and the flesh and the devil may oppose everything that is good and everything that is godly. But the man, the woman, the boy, the girl that's in the hands of the Savior, thank God, neither shall any pluck them out of my hand. The Lord Jesus Christ, when he was there, he came to Nazareth in Luke's Gospel, chapter 4. And it says in verse 16, he came to Nazareth where he had been brought up, and as his custom was, he went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day, and he stood up for to read. And there was delivered unto him the book of the prophet Isaiah. And when he had opened the book, he found the place where it was written. You see, the Lord Jesus turned up the place. And they handed him the book, and he opened up the book of the Scriptures, and this is what he read. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, the recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord. And he closed the book, and he gave it again to the minister, and he sat down. And all the eyes of them that were in the synagogue were fastened on him. And he began to say unto them, this day is this scripture fulfilled in your ears. And all bear him witness. And wondered at the gracious words which proceeded out of his mouth. Someone here this morning, you say, preacher, could the Lord Jesus set me free? Could the Lord break my chains? Could the Lord deliver me from the power of sin that so has taken my life? When I think of all the sins of my lifetime, the encrusted sins of years, could he break the chains that bind me? He says, I will rid you. I will rid you out of their bondage. 400 years they've been in bondage. And God says, I promise you, I rid you. I release you. I'll set you free. Oh, and there's a great gospel message here. We have a great Savior this morning. Oh, look away to Christ. You say, preacher, but I've tried. God knows I've tried. I always think, as a young preacher, a man used to come to my home. It was always at a particular time, every Saturday night, you could be sure, Sunday morning, 2 o'clock in the morning, the door would have got thumped nearly in, the glass door. We used to have a big glass door. And you can be sure that maybe you're just about to go to sleep, and then this thump on the door, and you thought you had to open it because you're expecting the glass to come around into the hallway. And this young man used to come in, used to walk across the wee hallway then that we had in Highfield Road, and into the wee back kitchen. Used to sit with his hands over his head. Used to cry. Full of booze. He used to cry and cry. He says, I tried, preacher, I tried. But look at me. All was regret. All was regret. Let me tell you, friend, I'm not asking you to try Jesus. I'm asking you in God's name to trust Him. Trust Him. Put your trust in Him. Hand your life. Be honest with Him. Hand your life. Tell Him about your bondage. Let the Lord listen. He knows. But tell the Lord. If you're earnest before God, you feel the bondage of your sin. Be honest. Confess your sin. If we confess our sin, He's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness and bring to the Lord your bondage and be honest before the Lord. And put your faith and your trust upon in His redeeming blood and that finished work of His cross and ask the Lord Jesus Christ in His precious and powerful name to set you free. Trust Him to do it. For He whom the Son sets free shall be free indeed. There's the I will of rest. There is the I will of release. Let's look at it again. And I will redeem you with a stretched out arm and with great judgments. I will redeem. There's the I will of redemption. The I will of redemption. And friend, let me tell you this. The basis of redemption is nothing to do with us. We have no power. We have nothing to offer to God. We can't ask God to look favorably upon us because we of ourselves are absolutely and totally and completely sinful. I know that that's not a popular message today because man thinks about the spark of life that's really within him that makes him different from all the rest and somehow that there is some basis on which God could look in favor upon him and a basis of instead of God's grace, the unmerited favor of God, that somehow that there's something that can merit something before God. I want to tell you, you're absolutely and totally and completely lost. You're absolutely and completely and totally a sinner. And it's not until a man cries out like a man who stood in the temple and he smote his breast and he looked heavenward and he said, Oh God, be merciful to me, the sinner. I don't deserve anything. But oh God, I cry for your mercy and I cry for your grace. The basis of redemption is redemption through His blood. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through the blood of His cross. And notice not only the price, but praise God, I will redeem you with a stretched out arm. There's the mighty arm. There's the power of redemption. Redemption is of the Lord. Remember, Peter was going down into the water and he came out of the boat and he took his first steps out of the water. And then he got caught up with the winds and he caught up with the waves. And he looked down and he began to sink. And he cried out, Lord, save me. Lord, save me. I perish. And the next thing the Bible says, and immediately Christ stretched forth his hand. And I want to tell you, there's someone in this service this morning. And you're willing to cry out those words, Lord, save me. And you mean it from the depths of your soul. And you're to acknowledge the Lordship of Christ. Because let me tell you, of yourself, you'll never be able to acknowledge Him as Lord. It's only by the Spirit of God. No man calls Him Lord but by the Holy Ghost. And if you're acknowledging the Lordship of Christ and you're coming as a sinner lost and undone to Jesus, and you cry out in the depths of your sin, Lord, will you save me? Save me. I'll guarantee you, immediately he'll stretch forth his hand. And it's a saving hand. It's the hands with the marks of Calvary on it. The hands which Christ were stretched on a cross one day on an old rugged hill, on an old rugged cross. And they nailed them to the tree. For he bare our sins in his own body on the tree. And he says, I will redeem you. I will, not a doubt about it, I will redeem you. Let me tell you, friend, redeemed, how I love to proclaim it, redeemed by the blood of the Lamb, redeemed through his infinite mercy, his child, and forever I am. And that leads me on to the next one. Because not only is there redemption here, there's reconciliation here. Look at the next verse. And I will take you to me for a people, and I will be to you a God. There's relationship. There's reconciliation. And on the ground of redemption, and only on the ground of redemption, Jehovah claims them as his people. Let me tell you, whenever they were there, nobody esteemed them. They were a nobody. But God says, listen, he says, I will take you to me for a people. I'll make you my people. And I will be to you a God. Going to be the people of God. Man, that's the greatest privilege, friend. Now are we the sons of God. People of God. Think of it. When God found us, we were of Adam's accursed race. Our back was to God, our face was to the world, our heart was filled with sin and rottenness and depravity. But thanks be to God, we were chosen in Christ. We were chosen as a special people for Christ. We were given as a people to Christ. And God says, listen, and I will take you to me. Imagine God saying this. I'll take you to me. I'll reconcile you to me. And I will make you my people. I'll make you my children. I'll make you my child. Now are we the sons of God. It doth not yet appear what we shall be, but glory to God when he shall appear. We shall be like him and we'll see him as he is. There's a reconciliation. Imagine God making us his children. And we are accepted in the beloved. And ye shall know that I am the Lord your God. There's relationship, friend. There's reconciliation. Brought into the family. And he says, you know that I am the Lord your God, which bringeth you out from under the burdens of the Egyptians. I love that passage in God's Word in 2 Corinthians chapter 6 where it says, wherefore come out from among them and be ye separate. He says, touch not the unclean thing. And God says, and I will receive you. And ye shall be my sons and my daughters. And I will be a father unto you. Isn't that not relationship? People say, boy, have I separated and I come out from apostasy. Where would it go? You go into the arms of Jesus, friend. You go right into the arms of Christ, into a loving relationship. You're willing to take your stand for God, and he says, you'll never be alone, for I will receive you. And I will be a father unto you. And ye shall be my sons, and you'll be my daughters. Oh, that men would step out on the promises of God and trust him. He's a faithful God. Time's away. Just mark the rest in verse number 7. And he says, listen, he says, I will take you to me for a people, and I will be your God. There's realization. I will be your God, that ye might know that I am the Lord. And I want to tell you, you see, when a person gets saved, when a person comes into a wonderful relationship of salvation and redemption through the blood of Christ, and we're brought nigh and accepted in the Beloved, then you'll come to know the Lord. You'll come to know Him in a different way. My, you know about Him this morning. Maybe there's people sitting here and you've been singing the hymns, but my, you know about Him. You've heard it from your childhood days. But do you know Him? Because they that know their God shall do exploits for Him. If you really know the Lord, friend, He says, listen, I will be to you a God. I'll be to you a God. There's realization. And then notice something else. Verse number 8. And I will bring you in unto the land concerning the which I did swear to give to your, to Abraham, to Isaac, to Jacob. There's reassurance. He brings us out to bring us in. I will bring you in unto the land. Thank God He'd not stop until He brings you into the land. Don't you worry. People are filled. You know, the old devil comes with doubts and how will it go on with God? Let me tell you, God says, I'll get you. I'll bring you. I'll bring you to the land. Don't you worry. He's the God who saves you. He's the God who keeps you. Looking on to Jesus, the author and finisher of your faith. Reassurance. And you be reassured that when God saves a man, He doesn't leave that person to walk the journey of the rest of life alone. He's promised to take every step with you. He'll walk every part of the journey with you. And He says, listen, I'll bring you out, yes, from an under the bondage, but He says, I will bring you in onto the land. He'll not stop till He glorifies you and gets you to heaven. And then lastly, notice this, and I will give it you. For an heritage. There's the riches. He gives you everything as a heritage. A glorious inheritance. You know, God is a wonderful salvation for His people today. He doesn't save you to make you miserable. You're already miserable. Miserable of sin. He wants to make you glad. He wants to make you happy. Listen, I've got an inheritance. I've got an inheritance that's undefiled. I've got an inheritance that fadeth not away. There's a heritage for the people of God. I was saying to the people in the Bible class this morning, if only we realize that all that we have in Christ and all that we are in Christ, we'd be the happiest people in the world. If we could only grasp who we are and what we are in Jesus. Oh, the blessed heritage for the people of God. A place reserved in heaven for you. There's a place reserved. There's a place in glory, and it's got a reservation, and my name's on it. My name's already in heaven, friend. It's reserved in heaven for you. My heart goes out to the unsaved this morning. Some of you have sat for years and you've listened to the gospel for years and yet you're not a step nearer Christ. You're many steps away from Him. And friend, have you died this week? To be honest with you, if you died this week, you'll be in hell. And the family will call the preacher. And the preacher will come to try to give comfort to a broken-hearted family. But the preacher will not change your destiny. You shall die in your sin. And where I am, you can't come. And yet God promises. He says, listen, and I'll give you that land. I'll give it for your heritage. Thank you, Lord. I don't deserve it. But I'm going to make it. Through Jesus Christ, my Lord. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, bless your word to our hearts this morning. We think of those that are not saved. And you directed this path this morning. And thou knowest, our God, for those that are still without thee, traveling the pathway of sin that leads to damnation. Oh, God, save them, I pray. Let not one in the service this morning die in their sin. Oh, may they turn while the Savior in mercy is pleading. May they steer for the harbor light. For how do they know but their soul may be drifting over the deadline tonight, even this morning. What an awful tragedy. Lord, would you save them by thy sovereign grace? Complete the family in the Lord for Jesus' sake. Amen. Amen.